back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a big week around here. And if I, where I live now, there are birds outside and I hear the birds and stuff like that. But this could be where we bring in the tweet of the sounds and I make the smell of the azaleas waft out. It is Masters Week around here. And we're proud to announce our new partnership with our friends at Classic Five Golf. We've been partnering with them for many, many years, over the 31 years now I've been on the radio. They've been around longer than me. Very few are at this point. Dave Hutsell makes his return engagement here. You know, I requested you. I said, I need somebody here to sort of hold me up this week on the Masters thing. We had Bob Harrig on last week, and Don Mohler and I were together. Don's not here to hold me up on the golf thing here, but everybody's a golf fan this week, right? Like, this is when it's fun to sort of zoom in, and for folks like you who have made your life and selling golf and being a part of golf, this is a time where if you've ever picked a club up, and I'm guilty of that, that if you're going to reunite with it, and I have some old fart friends of mine like Brian Billick and Kevin Byrne that made fun of golf for years that are now actively golfing every day of their lives, this is the week where you start to think about, that looks like fun.
Absolutely. You know, the Masters is kind of a kickoff of spring. You know, it's early April. The weather's starting to change here in Baltimore. And, I think one of the things that sets the Masters apart from other majors is it's the same golf course every year. You know, they do a rotation for many of the others, like the Open Championship and the PGA and U.S. Open. But the Masters is the same golf course every year. So you kind of know what to expect, you know, the same holes. They're going to make some changes here and there. Obviously, over the years, they tried to make the golf course longer because the game's getting longer, but it's the same golf course and has the same look and same appeal, and it's something we can kind of count on every year.
Well, I think the thing about television, and I've never walked on the course, and I told Don this, I've had a few chances to go to Augusta, right? So when I was syndicated 20 years ago, so it was the 2001 Masters, whatever that was, the Ravens had just won the Super Bowl. I was writing a book on the Ravens, and it happened like now, and I was trying to get my book out, and they asked me to go if I wanted to, or they were going to send Bob and Bruce, who love golf, who like revere golf, and we're going to do the golf thing. They asked me if I wanted to. And I'm like, let them, you know, my team's not going to win the Super Bowl next year. Like, I'll do it next year. So next year never came. And then my wife got cancer in 14 and 15. And in the aftermath of that, Mike Smith, the former Atlanta Falcons coach, and there's some sort of thing in the South that when you're a coach of the Falcons or those SEC teams, you could sort of play in at the Masters when, you know, walk on, come over, see, be a part of it from time to time. So I had sort of an open invite and I didn't take advantage of it for those like in 16 or 17. And now I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there or not, but I know if I ever get there, the one thing I'm going to see, aside from how beautiful and green and lush and all the things that I think you can see on TV, is just how hilly it is, and making it longer doesn't necessarily really play into some game's advantage, right?
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough to go there two times. First time early on in my career, I was working in South Carolina in Hilton Head, and a couple buddies of mine that I was working with at the time, we said, you know what, let's drive up. It was a Tuesday, and it was the last year they didn't require the lottery system even for practice round times. So tickets were $15. You walked in the door and you were in. So I mean, I walked the golf course with my buddies from hole number one all the way through 18. Then we bounced around a little bit more, went to the range, and it's true, TV does not do it justice for how hilly that golf course is. It's an amazing piece of property. And, the greens, you know, you look at some of the greens and they're so severe. And again, that's just very difficult to see in two dimensions on television.
Dave Hutsell's here. He has been a golf pro for a long, long time, almost as long as I've been doing radio here. Obviously, the Towson – I was over Towson the other day doing some leadership stuff with Nancy Grasbeck and her new situation over there. At Pine Ridge, you're out playing in the local part of this, and I want to get to a Masters thing and all that. But for people who want to play – weather's breaking a little bit. I see little greens on the bud. I'm out in the country now where the deer and the fox are running around, and I see the lushness of all of this. Tell everybody that maybe hasn't picked up a club in 3 months, 6 months, a couple of years, pandemic. I think the pandemic brought a lot of people out, but it probably made courses kind of busy too, right? Made it a little harder to get on. Where are we when we open for people that have waded through winters? And it's been relatively mild the last couple of weeks. I'm sure you're seeing it, but this is the week where everybody smells it again. And the beauty of, I think, golf for those who do it, much like basketball, you go play it. You know, it's not, it's, you see it, tennis, you can grab a racket, you go play it. But I think golf is the main beneficiary when this time of year comes and people start seeing it on TV. It reminds them that if they enjoy it, this is a good time to go hit a bucket of balls.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the great things at Pine Ridge. If you're just getting back into the game, we've got a beautiful driving range there to go work on your game. We've got classes, clinics through our golf academy, Baltimore Golf Academy. We have lots of instructors willing and ready to help. You know, and in terms of just getting on the golf course, I would certainly make a recommendation of booking your tee times early. Our rounds went up probably 15-20% last year and over the last 2 years with the pandemic. And, you know, the pandemic was certainly good for the golf business. So, you know, make your tee times early on classic5golf.com. We do tee times 2 weeks in advance. So our prime time tee times go very quickly. So definitely plan ahead and, you know, try to get out there as often as you can. The golf course looks great. The weather's turning, and it is a beautiful time of year to play golf.
Is Pine Ridge the Augusta of the Class of Five, or would you just make an argument on that?
I guess you could say that. You know, Mount Pleasant also has a little bit of elevation change, similar to Augusta National. So, you know, we've got so many good golf courses between the Classic Five, but, you know, a lot of people refer to Pine Ridge as the crown jewel, you know, being on the reservoir. It's just an amazing piece of property.
You know, Dave, back when I was syndicated, like right when you became a pro, 98, 99, 2000, that period of time, I was doing national radio every day in the afternoon. And you can only imagine, you know, that run and that period of time where this young man from Stanford comes onto the scene. We called him the Cat, you know what I mean? Like, and it was game changing for the sport, right? For the world, for how much money golf was going to bring in, the international part of all that was always there, that this would be our export over the next 10 years. And I had Bob Harrigan last week talking about the Mickelson Tiger rivalry and where we are. And much like Tom Brady, right? Like the story there still unwritten, the end. The end's unwritten. This Tiger thing, we're not at the end. Mickelson, certainly with Saudi Arabia, we can get into that. But let's start with Tiger, because this press conference is going to happen. We're taping this on the front end, and you know, there'll be a back end, and he'll play or he won't play. He'll win or he won't win. But your thoughts on Tiger and all of this, because you see it a totally different way than a guy like me, who's not a golf prime guy, that has watched this amazing guy do these amazing things and now have just, I mean, it's Shakespearean, right? Like these incredible tragedies and this life played full in front of everyone, literally. And I still judge him from the time he was a jerk to me on New Year's Eve, 1996. I'll never forget it. The only time I was ever in the same room with him, he was unkind to me. So I rooted against him. And now all these years later, he's a sympathetic figure, right?
He really has become that. And, you know, that's, I believe, one of the difficult things in sports. You know, you've met enough professional athletes over the years, and I'm sure you've had plenty of positive and some negative experiences. But, you know, people maybe get that one chance and it's not a positive thing. And I can't say I know Tiger. I've met Tiger. I've said hello to him. You know, we played in a couple of tournaments together, the PGA Championship and the Greenbrier Classic. And, he gets pulled in so many directions. I don't hold anything against him. And he said hello, and that was fine with me. I didn't want any more of his time than that. I know how busy he is, but you know, in terms of his career, I think we've all learned to never doubt him. I mean, he's made so many, you know, swing changes and life changes, you know, and, throughout the years. And, you know, just when you think, yeah, he's never going to come back and win again. You know, he wins the tour championship and then he wins the Masters, you know, for, you know, the fifth time, was it, I guess. And it just, you know, 15 majors. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I, you know, I hope he's healthy. I know he's not 100%, but, you know, the other day I read a quote from Hank Haney and he said, if Tiger can walk, Tiger can win. And, you know, that's the hardest part of playing this week at Augusta is walking that golf course, you know.
I was going to say, especially when you have a weight bearing issue to begin with, right? Like, this is all about legs and the game. And that's always been the challenge at the Masters, right? Especially if you get a hot day down in Georgia, right?
Hot day and just uneven lies. You know, people that play golf understand that it's not played on a level surface. It's not basketball. The court's not flat. It's not football. The field's not flat. You know, the surface has changed, but you know, when you're playing a golf course that has a lot of elevation change and you're standing on the side of a hill, you've got downhill lies, uphill lies, he's going to have to put more pressure on that right leg of his, which is not 100%. And it's going to be a challenge. And but if anybody can handle it, he certainly can.
Dave Hutsell is here. He is the PGA Pro. What does that mean, member of the PGA? Just so everybody knows that if that's at the top, what does one need to do in order to do what you do, which is help guys like me make you just get better? I mean, like, literally everybody that goes out to play the game understands the challenge that it is, and everybody's out there. Yeah, you want to have fun and stuff, but you don't want to be losing balls all afternoon either, right?
Well, you know, I think the role of a PGA professional is to promote and grow the game of golf. And we do that in a lot of different ways, through teaching, through playing, through management of facilities, helping people enjoy their rounds of golf, enjoy their experience at the golf course, at the driving range, or whatever type of facility we work at. But, you know, it's a process, and, you know, we have to be able to play the game at a respectable level. We have to be able to be a business person, manage operations, manage staff, planning. There's so much that goes into being a PGA professional. Schooling, of course, through the PGA of America. We have a wonderful PGM program, professional golf management, with multiple universities around the country. So we're getting some great young golf professionals through that program today as well.
Does it amaze you when you see kids today that love the game that maybe there's a different access to it? Certainly at this point, you know, obviously just talking about Classic Five, anybody can come and play, right? I am, you know, part of me not growing up with golf was, you know, my dad wasn't into horse racing either or auto racing. My dad was into baseball and basketball. The same thing would be said. I have this baseball lacrosse argument this time of the year every year because your kid can't do both well. Golf is one of those things that I think there's more access to it now. And maybe you're seeing what a 13, 12, 15-year-old kid, it's a different level that maybe you saw in Florida 30 years ago. You'd have to be there to be able to have access to the game in the way that it is so universal. And as much as we would sit here and talk about Tiger Woods, the good, the bad, the ugly, I think it's been that has really livened the game up and made it something cool and youthful. I mean, I certainly saw that when I was up at Caves 6 months ago, putting on the biggest show we've ever literally put on in this area, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's really neat is how we're seeing so many more athletes in golf now. I think some kids, you know, are maybe not seeing, or maybe seeing golf as not the, you know, I guess it's always been kind of a solo sport or an individual sport. And a lot of kids enjoy the team aspect. But, you know, there is a camaraderie. You know, there's so many junior tours out there now for kids to play. But, you know, the other thing is you don't necessarily have to play on the tours. I mean, playing with your family, playing with your friends. And I think a great example was this past weekend. We had the National Drive, Chip and Putt competition. You don't have to be, I mean, a great player. It's a skills competition. So you're breaking down parts of the game, giving kids a chance to go out, drive the ball, chip the ball, putt the ball.
Dude, I won pitch hit and run in Highland Town and Patterson Park on Uxt Woods Field when I was 10 years old. Still the greatest lifetime accomplishment. So when you're talking about those kind of things, those last a lifetime.
Yeah, punt, pass, and kick in football. You know, I wasn't a football player growing up, but I mean, those kinds of skills competitions is a great way to introduce kids to the game and hopefully make them lifelong players.
Dave, for you with this specific Masters, and Tiger's going to take up a lot of oxygen right here next couple days before we get to the weekend. But then the weekend begins, and I know opening day, I had Luke on, is sort of, you know, happening on Thursday and Friday in the middle of all of this. But this is a special weekend for anybody that loves golf. What happened last year is, I guess, a tribute to that it is an open tournament. You'll talk about Tiger and his game lending itself and his mastery of this golf course over the course of his lifetime and playing it sort of back in his mind, you know, the way someone would play a computer game, I would think, for a guy like him. But give me some names and some people that are going to come on to this that on a Sunday morning they'll be on the board and I'll say, who's that guy? And they'll have me, because it happens every year. Every year there's somebody I'm like, well, I know him. Who's that guy? And then I go Googling the person at 10 o'clock in the morning and saying, because Sunday's a special day that everybody who isn't even a golfer, my wife and I will be glued to all of it on Sunday because that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look just recently, you got to look at Scottie Scheffler, just made it the number one in the world. Incredibly talented, you know, young player. Cam Smith just won the Players Championship, won multiple times this year, you know, great ball striker and just been an incredible putter. So, you know, you gotta be able to roll the rock at Augusta. I mean, the greens are so challenging and experience is going to play a huge role. So, you know, the talent level with the younger players, I believe every player in the top 10 in the world now is, you know, 20 or 30 or younger. So you got the Colin Morikawas, the John Rahms. I mean, there's so many talented players. You know, I think it's going to be whoever can ride the hot putter. But I'll tell you one person I'm always watching for is Bernhard Langer, 64 years old. I want to see if he can make another cut at Augusta.
Dude, he looked great amazing. In that green jacket 30 years
oh,
ago, didn't he?
Oh, my gosh. Twice, two times. So just amazing. Just amazing guy. And, you know, for him to, you know, not being nearly as long as those guys, it just shows you how much experience plays into playing well at Augusta.
It's fascinating you would say that to me because you mentioned like the old fart guy. And I would always think of golf as being one of those things where, like, I remember at the end, Jack Nicklaus had his thing. And I, you know, I remember watching Palmer and Watson and, you know, all the Mize, all those guys back in the day, that it always felt like they were different than even whatever the Dan Marino that was the athlete at that moment that you watched in football or Wayne Gretzky or that they always felt like they, that being 45. And I saw some funny thing, you know, on Twitter, the guys in the NBA that have male pattern baldness back in the 60s and 70s that yeah. you'd see out there dribbling now that uh-huh. looks so out of place with all of it. But golf allows for me, at least on the Masters, that every year you look and often it's 40s, 30s, 20s, it's generational. But more than that, when I think of golf modern, I think young, I think buff. I think a guy that looks like he might've been a basketball, 6'3" basketball player or a tight end or, you know, a baseball Cal Ripken looking kind of body to them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody 45 with male pattern baldness cannot win this tournament, put a green jacket on, right? Because that's happened many, Absolutely. Many times. That probably is the great level playing field, but young people never really fared all that well for a long time, I would say, or at least the final day, the meltdown of having it get away from you. Greg Norman's still young in my mind, right? I guess. But what this does to nerves this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, well, look at the PGA Championship last year, Phil Mickelson at 51 years old, winning a major championship, setting the record there. So, you know, golf is such an interesting game that, you know, the just the confidence level may be there that week. The skill level may be there that week. You know, maybe the nerves are just, you know, a little bit better controlled. And no matter what age you are, I mean, ball striking, putting, you know, if you can get those things going, you can challenge anybody no matter what age they are.
Tell me a little bit about the Baltimore Golf Academy for those who watch this weekend. They get excited about all of this. I want to take a little deeper dive with you into some of the things because we're going to be promoting everything. That, by the way, Dave Hutzel is here. You can find him over at Pine Ridge. Classic5Golf.com. We'll be talking about that. You'll hear the ads here at WNST and from time to time here, certainly throughout the year, you all will be our golf insiders and experts. But more than that, I've picked up the club. I have been in and out of wanting to do it or getting better at it. And I got to give a free plug here for a couple of guys in my life, intimately football wise. Brian Billick, my partner here on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation, and his one-time partner Kimo Sabi out with the Ravens, Kevin Byrne. I've known both those cats going on, 25. I've known Kevin almost 30 years, right? These were guys that never played golf. They weren't very good at it. They didn't play it enough to like it. Brian didn't like it at all. Like, literally, I remember being on a course it was kind of funny. We had fun with him not playing golf. And now, whenever I contact these guys, they live in golf communities, they play golf, that there is a point where you can poo-poo it like I do Hemingway novels, but at some point you'll pick it up, right? And this is one of those entrees to say, if you're going to pick it up, we can help make you better.
Absolutely. And we have classes for all ages, from the peewees all the way up to seniors. It's a game of a lifetime. I've been saying that for years, and it doesn't matter when you start. If you start young, that's great. Obviously, that can be an advantage. But more importantly, getting good instruction when you first start out can save you a lot of time and a lot of effort. So, our Baltimore Golf Academy, we have a number of great instructors. They're led by Jalita Stack. Most people affectionately know her as Coach Jay, and she runs a great, great academy. We have, like I said, many instructors, and, we start with peewees. We have level one classes for your total beginners. And like you said, even if you don't have clubs, sign up online. They have clubs for you to use, to borrow for the classes. We can help you with club fitting. If you decide to buy clubs, we're hoping that you enjoy the classes, enjoy the game, want to become a regular player. And, there's progressions through level one, level 1.5, and so on and so on. You get instruction on the driving range and the golf course. It's a great way to get introduced to the game.
I will say this, and my back's been a little torqued, this winter and stuff. So I don't know that this is going to be the spring for me to be doing that. But there is something that it's been a long time since I hit one square. You know what I mean? Like, and this, that sound it makes and that feeling. See, I'm getting my grip together here because when the first time I went out, for you to say, you'll play better with instruction. There's no doubt about that. And this is the story I have for you. My last name's Aparicio, right? So like baseball, I grab the club like you would grab a baseball bat, right? I mean, obviously, I'm wrong. From the minute I grabbed my first golf club, I grabbed it like I was going to like hit somebody like Fred Flintstone, And, and I learned the whole like pinky, grab the club, do it the right way. And it was just something, point fingers down, like all of that. Don't cock your arm. You got to stay out straight. So all of these really basic things. And I picked up the game pretty quickly. I would always say the ball doesn't move. I'm used to baseball where like the ball's breaking, stuff's happening, angles and all that. The ball doesn't move, so it's really about yourself. So I learned a lot my first time out. And my dear friend Ray Bachman, who was my longtime producer here, he did a thing with the Ripken folks. He went on their little their baseball fantasy camp thing that they did up at Aberdeen like 20 years ago when Cal first got involved up there. And he went to first day of camp and he played baseball all his life and he loved baseball and he worshiped Cal and like all that. And on the first day of fantasy camp, the first thing he reported on the radio was, I was throwing the baseball wrong all my life. I didn't grip the ball right from the beginning. And, it really is amazing when you're with professionals that from the very beginning, you do it right. Therefore, you get better at it quicker, right? And there's the gratification of finally you get out there and it's perfect. And you feel like, I felt like Phil, I felt like Tiger, right? I felt like whoever Brooks, whoever your guy is, right?
Right, right. And instruction is a huge part of that. And just, in my experience, I've given thousands of golf lessons over the years, people aren't going to always pick it up right away, but they need to have a better understanding. And if they have that better understanding and you can help them, lead them into a golf swing that they understand as being more efficient. And, you say the gentleman felt like, he was holding the ball the wrong way. Well, if you're holding the club incorrectly, you're going to have trouble. Excuse me. So it's, there's just that understanding of the golf swing and impact and how to make the ball move and make it move the way you want it to. And I like to start from the hole backwards, start with putting, understanding the stroke, understanding how, the face position affects the direction of the ball, and then gradually working your way back to, you know, off the green to chipping, putting, pitch, or excuse me, putting, chipping, pitching, and then into the full swing and gradually build your way up there. I mean, I watch too many people on the range pick up a club for the first time and it's a driver and they're just swinging away as hard as they can and they miss and they hit it all over the place. And
you know, I'm not the only meathead that showed up with like Captain Caveman wanting, right? I mean, every day you're showing someone it's a little awkward. It's going to feel a little weird in your hands in the beginning if you've been holding a tennis racket, right? Or racquetball or whatever that thing you've had in your hand would be. Holding a golf club is unique to holding a golf club to me. There's nothing else. It does feel weird with my pointer. And again, I'm missing a finger too, right? So if I were left-handed, it'd be a little weirder. But that is very, very unique. That cross you make to hold a golf club is the only time you do that.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have this quote correctly exactly, but I believe Sam Snead told someone years ago, he said, if you held a knife and fork like you held a golf club, you'd starve to death.
Nice work, Dave. Drop the mic on that, man. Dave Hutzel here. He is the PGA professional. He's over Pine Ridge. Go visit him. Go visit all the folks at Classic Five. If you're into golf, this is a great, great week in the Masters and watching all weekend long. I promise not to call anybody, text anybody, bother anybody that loves golf beginning on Thursday morning. But you might miss some baseball this weekend if you do that. And you can also go to BaltimoreGolfAcademy.com and learn more. Dave, please don't be a stranger this summer. All right, come back for PGA and British and all that good stuff. All right.
You got it. Love
having you on, man. Thank you very much. Dave Hutzel joining us here from over Pine Ridge. And on behalf of all our friends out there, we're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out. Maybe I get some crab cakes with some golf guys. That would be kind of fun. We're doing our first stop this month at Greenmount Station on the 15th. We're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh. Coney Island Hot Dog and Crab Cake on the 22nd. And the 27th, we're up in Perry Hall at Conrad. So that'll be a good one. We'll talk to them about getting out onto the water and doing some crabbing here this year. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, giving some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets away, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. Looking forward to having John Baylog on this week. I spent the whole weekend like cleaning stuff out. So I'm going to be giving a whole bunch of stuff to Goodwill here. Make sure you're doing the same things too. They're doing some great stuff out in the job space here in Baltimore. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.